chipped ahead by Bunting. Marner looking for the empty net. Missed the goal. You don't think everybody in this building knows what's going on? He does it again. Marner with an empty net. Scores! Holy mackinac, he did it! 18 straight games, tying a Leaf record.
If that's how excited Leafs Nation and the Leafs get when Mitch Marner ties a franchise streak, imagine when they win a playoff round.
Sharing a brain. That's exactly what I was thinking yesterday.
The roof will literally pop off.
We got to see what happens. We got to see the scenes when something real happens. Not to say the 18-point streak
playoffs
isn't the biggest thing in the world. But there are bigger things. There are higher aspirations.
I mean, I don't want to come on here and, you know.
No, that's my job.
But we are so desperate for something in this city that was the Super Bowl win.
There was like a legitimate euphoria for that moment, which was pretty funny.
I was there for it, and it was exciting because those last couple minutes, you started to be like, ah, crap, he's going to miss it, and this game was already snooze fest.
Well, late power play, too. They're just looking at him like it's Auston Matthews 60th goal.
That was it. It was like Auston Matthews 60th goal.
This is sort of distracting from the point that, you know, you're kind of chasing the Boston Bruins.
And the
right
game
now
was tight. Like, it wasn't like 5-1 where you could, you know, mess around, but they found a way. He probably had the worst shift of his life, finds a way to put the puck in the net, ties the franchise record for 18 consecutive games with a point, the opportunity to do that on the road versus Tampa. And it just was really funny how it happened. Like, it was, you watched everybody tightening up, give them the puck, and then he does the pass, the Bunting.
Like, facial expressions we haven't seen before, reactions we haven't seen before. I think we need more carrots. We need everything to be dangling in front of Mitch Marner because it brings something to this group.
The team is united.
It brings life to this group.
The team is united around Mitch Marner's point streak. And
coaching staff, players, everybody wanted this really, really badly.
The whole Scotiabank Arena, and you could hear it, Bay Street buzzing, Yonge Street buzzing, Woodbridge buzzing.
Oh, yeah. I felt it.
You could feel it with the tie of the streak, but Mitch Marner does it. The 60th goal narratives are funny because I was there for that game too.
It was
a similar vibe, honestly.
Similar vibe, right?
Other than there was no standing ovation for as long as, you know, Auston Matthews got a 60th
goal.
Still a
standing ovation.
There was a standing ovation.
Standing O.
And everyone's like, get up, Mitch Marner, get up on the bench and clap, and the camera was on him, and like, you know, he's just like, I guess I should, you know, he did the little heart thing, which was nice. But
Marner had that thing going on with his face where you can't like hide the fact that you are just ecstatic,
like your face like is hurting from trying to restrain it.
He can't control his facial muscles because he was just so jacked up about it.
He's got some
good for him.
Yes, good for him.
It's a nice little
thing. I just thought it was the whole situation, the final dying minutes, the pass to Bunting. Because you don't want to put the puck in the net. Outrageous. Then you miss the empty net. And I'm like, he's cursed. He's never, this is it. Like, he blew his chance. And then he pots it and the ground was shaking. Post game, he obviously was the center of attention on the podium. Deservedly so. He was asked about this moment. And it is really special because this guy's a hometown guy. He's faced the trials and tribulations of being the least favorite Leaf. Because of the contract stuff. Now, maybe begrudgingly, the favorite Leaf to some people. He's lived in Auston Matthews' shadow for the last couple of seasons, and he got his moment. That isn't the record-breaking moment yet. And he talked about it post-game and just how special this was.
That was really special. That meant a lot. You know, like we were talking about yesterday about family being here, and I got my family here, and, you know, it was a special moment to... Obviously, they're not beside me, but I'm sure they're in the crowd loving that moment, too, and just, you know, taking it in with me. And it was a special moment to grow up in this city, be a huge fan of this team, and now have my name with a couple unbelievable players. It's pretty special. And, you know, a kid growing up would have never expected this, and now it's, you know, kind of a reality, and it's a cool moment. But obviously, winning the game is more important, and that was a great job by Kerf and Pierre there to get that second goal and get us going to, you know, lead to that opportunity.
people like Pierre Engvall now?
Oh, Pierre Engvall is the MVP.
Yeah,
this doesn't happen without Pierre Engvall.
So I've always been a massive Pierre Engvall fan.
Right.
Never have I doubted that he's able to
wasn't
contribute.
Wasn't it all a bad game for Pierre Engvall until... But I'll give him credit because if this... Mm-hmm. I think our take this week has really, really aged well. Runs on the positivity of Mitch Marner.
Top 700 takes for us, for sure.
Oh, yes, for sure. It would make that list. But it's so obvious. So if we're talking about like doing your part to keep the good times rolling, Pierre Engvall, no one else had a moment like Pierre Engvall.
That game was pretty boring until the final dying, five minutes? When did he score that? Yeah, less than 5 minutes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Something happened.
I think there was over a minute left, but under 90. Oh, no, sorry. You're talking about Engvall.
Yeah.
He scored it was under five, I think, but around that.
They got a win, which... at times felt like, I don't know if they're even going to score another goal here. Either team.
Yeah, it was a slog.
It was a little snoozy on a Wednesday at Scotiabank Arena. But the goals, the finale, the momentum, this November, you've put some stats in here about the Maple Leafs November. Oh, by the way, happy December, everybody. You're still sporting a mustache. What's going on here?
Yeah, I didn't want to, wake the entire household. I go to midnight last night.
Oh, you wouldn't have done it at, 10 p.m.?
Well, then it's, then you have to have a shower right away. I prefer the shower in the morning. We don't need to get into my process, but I just didn't want to wake the house up.
Shocking this morning.
I didn't want to wake the house up.
Okay. You don't have, multiple bathrooms? You could go to a different one?
I don't live in a lap of luxury.
Anyway, happy December. Let's reflect on the Maple Leafs November because it was one for the ages, really. Oh, you wrote it, so I thought you would talk about it.
No. It has been. It's been a terrific November. 11-1-3, 25 out of possible 30 points. That's second overall in the NHL behind just the New Jersey Devils. I think it's only 1 point back of them. We're talking about the Devils being...
God, they went on what was the game streak that they won in a row?
I don't know. They didn't celebrate it like Mitch, so I don't remember.
More subdued.
A little bit more subdued. Their scoring, though, it's been driven exclusively by their defensive game. They're third in goals conceded at a 60-minute, when you're looking at every 60 minutes. Their save percentage is fourth. Their scoring, middling. And their expected goals, middling. So, really, we got to give all the credit in the world to Sheldon Keefe. The goaltenders, the ability for this defensive core to adapt. We talked about it yesterday, so we don't have to go too far in on it. But this has been an outstanding November, and a November that maybe gives hope to... not meeting Tampa in the first round, chasing down the Boston Bruins. We'll talk about parity a little bit later in the NHL. Despite everything that Boston's done, the Leafs are just right there because of this run.
And you mentioned goaltending. We saw Ilya Samsonov return from injury last night, played pretty well. Not too many high danger chances from the Sharks.
There was a couple breakaways.
Yeah, but I think they missed the net on one of them.
They did. They did miss the net on the breakaways.
Hey, who?
I just think it wasn't a great defensive effort.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's the fact that there's a lot of games in a row. You come back home, a little bit of a, I'm not giving, excuses out, but it was a slow slog, as you mentioned. But if you look at the goaltending, combined him and Matt Murray, 12-3-1 on the season. What else can you ask for?
You can't ask for anything more. You maybe ask for, just less sparkling results, because if I have any take from yesterday, it's that Ilya Samsonov's already priced himself out of this town.
Oh, come on.
You don't think?
I don't. Just makes
me hurt. He came here on a 1-year deal, wanted to prove it, wanted to showcase,
maybe
right?
Maybe he loves it.
Maybe he's showcasing for I bet he does love it. He's been part of the nice little narrative story as well.
He's 6-0 at home,
His
too.
His quotes are fantastic.
He never loses here.
No, he's great. And if you're looking around the league and teams are desperate for goaltending, they're going to be like, well, he did really well on that Show Me $1.8 million deal. You have one more year for Matt Murray. You can't get rid of that. You don't want to get rid of that based on the way he's playing. It just seems like this is like a little, which is crazy, because these were total risks, that they have a nice little area of real strength in the goaltending position. I don't want to jinx it. Where's the wood? I want to knock on it. But Ilya Samsonov.
I think this table's wood.
It might be. Maybe a little covered in something. Samsonov is such a positive. And if you use the context too of, hey, what's going on in Washington? It wasn't about Samsonov as much as it was about Washington. Vitek Vanacek is starring in Jersey. Darcy Kemper doesn't look like the same guy in Washington, and Samsonov looks like twice the goaltender that he was in Washington. Here in Toronto, this is a nice little reclamation project. It appears like it's going to work. He's going to give you plus backup minutes at the very least, but it's too bad he's not here for a couple more years.
Justin, you never know.
Hey, maybe.
He could be. All right. Cali Yarncroke going to miss some time.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever miss some time means. Going to be reevaluated. Groin injury there. Does that give Nick Robertson his real chance to stick in this lineup?
I guess from a numerical standpoint, yes. It'll probably give Wayne Simmonds a couple more chances. Mm. It'll probably mean that Dennis Malgin's a little bit more of a regular. It does open things up, because if it's going to miss some time, then we expect some roster spots need to be filled over a decent time period here. But I think you kind of you shrugged when you said it. We're at the point where it's like shrugging with Yarncroke. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
No.
I think they'll be fine. And this is one of the guys that was, you know, we invested money in him, and he's been okay. He's graduated to the top six here recently, but it's not that big of a deal. Playing good defensive hockey without one of your best defensive forwards, I think that's a possibility, a strong possibility.
What else from the game?
I don't know if there's anything else that's really important.
It was just, it was fine. Like, I feel
I think we should start talking about Mitch Marner's drive to 100 points right now, though.
Yeah, what does he add now?
So he's stopped short of 100 a couple times. Of course, there's been some pandemic-shortened seasons, unfortunately. 97 in 72 games last year. Didn't quite get there. Didn't quite have the milestone that Matthews got, clearly. 94 in the 2018-19 season. So he's, you know, he should live above 100 points, clearly, with what we've seen across the NHL. Guys like Johnny Gaudreau getting to 120, Huberto 120. Guys way up there. It's going to happen. But you start talking about it now, the incentive's
plant it
there.
December 1st, let's plant it now.
When Mitch Marner's thinking about what could be ahead for him, it seems to bring out, you know, the best in the Leafs, the happiest version of the Leafs. And as we've learned, the happiest version of the Leafs is the best version of the Leafs.
A couple more audio that we want to play here. You mentioned November as a team to really flip the script from thinking that everybody was going to get fired and you're going to sell all your pieces and that road trip from hell. Sheldon Keefe was asked about what this November meant. November. It was also November. What this November/Movember meant to this team post-game. And here's his quotes.
You know, I feel good about this month, but calendar's going to turn, and that's, you know, the calendar turning is something I said when we turned from October to November. Calendar turns, you know, like we're just getting through 10 games or so you know, through October, and we said we're going to push on from there, and we're going to push on from here. You know, take a day off tomorrow, good practice day, get out to Tampa, and look to keep this going.
That's all you can do. They don't have another home game for a while, too. On the road this weekend in Tampa, which is the Mitch Marner sweepstake Super Bowl again. Then
Do you think the game's played the same way?
This is what I thought, too. Did you notice?
Because 19 is bigger than 18.
Of course. 19 is the one that really should matter.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch Marner was grittying in the dressing room. What?
Did you see the 18? Water shower, too?
Yeah, and the water shower was kind of like, okay, you have a moment, yeah. Water shower. The gritty was part of the water shower. It was a party, though. In 19, I don't know what to expect for 19. On a Saturday night, honestly, with a spaced-up schedule?
There honestly might be champagne bottles.
It might be a full-on celebration.
Back in action Saturday night, so a little bit of extended break here. Then on the road Tuesday in Dallas, back home Thursday, and then back on the road. So all over the place these guys are. Last one here on the Maple Leafs. It was funny. Matthews, Marner, and Co., everyone's trying to get him that goal at the end. Matthews had a funny quote about just the end of the game and Marner needing to get that empty netter.
Just, yeah, a little bit of a sigh of relief. I mean, like I said, like the first two tries, just like, what are you doing? Like, just put it in the net and let's go home, you know? Like, let's get this over with. And so, yeah, we're having some fun there, just laughing and just, like I said, just really happy that it ended up going in. So,
just put it in the net and let's go home.
That might have been part of the reaction, that it was kind of a ridiculous.
Well, he's trying to be unselfish.
There's like hijinks in the moment.
Just put the puck in that.
When he did get it, when he did pass to bunt, he passed to Bunting, right? he was kind of like stationary. Maybe he thought like that's what he had to do. He just got too excited the second time. He like skated over the puck, had to stop. Did he hit the post?
I don't think so.
He was staying out there until he got it. Like apparently Sheldon Keefe was like,
don't come off the bench.
In getting
I mean,
this
don't
thing.
Come here.
Because he knows. He knows what we figured out this week.
That's it. All right, Maple Leafs, a good 3-1 win against the Sharks.
Before we get to the Raptors, can we just talk about the World Cup for a second? Were you watching yesterday?
I was, once again, unpacking things.
Oh, my God.
Justin, I have it on, though.
You missed maybe the best viewing experience.
I didn't miss
ever.
It. I just wasn't sitting on my couch with a bag of chips watching. I was within earshot of the television.
But you understood what was going on?
Folding
sweaters. No, you couldn't
have
completed. Like, it was so compelling.
All right.
So let me just
run it down. We're done. Leafs great.
Okay, so
congrats.
Two games at 2 p.m. yesterday.
Yep.
Argentina, Poland, Mexico, Saudi Arabia. Both games 0-0 at the break. Okay, so a lot needs to happen, but a lot on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Argentina not guaranteed to get through. Poland not guaranteed to get through. Mexico, Saudi Arabia, no one guaranteed to get through.
Stakes were high.
Stakes were very high. But a lot needed to happen for things to get crazy. So 45 minutes passes, they go to the break, they come out. Immediately, Argentina and Mexico score goals. So this changes things.
Synchronized.
Now everything's like, now all the shifting in the table, Argentina on top, Poland, Mexico. But there's a huge gap between Poland and Mexico on goal differential.
Mm.
So things, you need more goals for the actual switch in the standings to occur. And you can see Mexico get life from the Argentina goal. Like, they were sensational after they got the hope that they needed, that they could actually get through. So they start throwing everything at Saudi Arabia. Like, it was so impressive. It was like, where has this been from that group? Where is this from other teams? They were remarkable going after Saudi Arabia. Like, beautiful free kicks that are just getting punched away or hitting crossbars. Mexico all over them. Mexico gets a second goal, so now they're within one. Argentina gets the goal, so now it's tied. And now you're scrambling, figuring out what actually needs to happen here. Who gets the tiebreaker now that they have the same goal differential, same amount of points?
Do you think that there's any way, shape, or form that they're finding out?
100%.
The coach is like, you need another goal!
You could see in the moment when Mexico understood that there was light at the end of the tunnel. Because they were dead and gone. They were dead.
So there is a pipeline from the scores to the players.
And that's why the game's played at the same time, because you can't have this happen and know exactly what you need next.
Which is, I think, is iconic. It's the best.
So you can see information like being shared and happening and a result and changes on the field. And Poland probably knows the same way, and they are just barely hanging on now. Argentina doesn't need to score, but Poland has nothing. They're just like grasping, trying to stay in this, trying to not give up a third goal, and hoping that Saudi Arabia doesn't give up a third goal. So all this is that, like, all these countries from all over the world are being affected by not what's happening in one game, but what's happening in the other game.
And you've got, like, the scores and the table up and doing, like,
it
the math.
It is changing, and the clock is going,
oh,
and you're
God.
Like, oh, my God. So one more goal changes everything. We need one more goal to be scored. And it doesn't come from Mexico or Argentina to help Mexico. It comes from Saudi Arabia.
Spoilers.
And you're like, okay, done. And then you realize that it didn't really matter, because if Mexico scores one more, they not only get back to even on goal differential, but they would go ahead, because the actual tiebreaker is the total goals scored. They'd have one more goal than Poland. So Mexico, you could see them realize this in the moment. Like, they're like, oh, no, we're actually okay if we go. And this coach is trying to scream, we need one more. But clock, there was like a minute and a half left, and they didn't get that goal. It was the most compelling, like, 45 minutes.
So it shakes out. In which way here?
So Argentina wins the group after losing to Saudi Arabia.
That's crazy,
in the opener, then beating Mexico and Poland.
Resilience.
Poland gets through, just survives despite losing to Argentina. I believe that, they beat Mexico and they drew Saudi Arabia. I think that's correct. Mexico, despite being dead, almost got in and looked amazing, but comes in third based on goal differential. It was so cool watching all this play.
So cool.
I wish you got to. Wish you got to see it. You're moving.
Today, Croatia, Belgium, Canada, Morocco, of course, will be setting that one up.
We don't get the same stakes today.
Well, Morocco does, though. Japan and Spain.
Yeah, I guess Canada could play spoiler.
And that's fun. And they could also...
Actually, it could be exactly the same.
Yeah.
You're right.
So Croatia, Belgium, Canada, Morocco at 10, and then Japan, Spain, and Costa Rica and Germany at 2. we'll tee that up.
There could be hijinks in that 2 p.m. slate, too.
Hijinks. What a word.
Because Japan and Germany both are desperate for a win
there
to stay alive.
Get on your couch. Some chips. Peter Galindo is going to join us from Qatar at 7:30. We've got Jeff Merrick, of course, at 7 a.m. And then Blake Murphy at 8 a.m. I love that you thought that that was very cool. Because
it was amazing.
The Toronto Raptors.
You can't replicate it. Like, it could never happen in anything else, just on a World Cup stage. We could see games like that between the Toronto Raptors and Pelicans any night of the week.
That was an ugly, 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 ugly basketball game. Raptors lose 126-108 with a little bit even of a push there nearing the end.
That was a kind story, scoreline, really, in the end.
A truly well-deserved loss. They were abysmal. Everybody, minus maybe Gary Trent Jr., who...
But Siakam was okay.
Was fine.
But, I mean, he's set the bar so high that okay is like a bad game.
Good. They're 3-8 now on the road. The biggest thing for me is when they play last, 2 days ago, we were so excited. A healthy Raptors lineup finally back. They had this exciting buzz. Buzz is the word in the city of Toronto. Pascal drops the teaser of all teasers. They come out, they have bench hijinks where their starting lineup and their bench are kind of a combined threat. We saw Nick Nurse with the ability to pull some strings at work. And then you come out and you lay a stinking dud of a game. Okay. And it just is, there's no real excuse for it. Like, you've played not a lot of games in the last little while. It really sucked to watch. And now you look at the momentum you're hoping to build. Does that stop? I don't know. I hope not. But it was really awful.
Well, what bothered me the most, I think, was that no one had anything for Zion Williamson. Like, he just did whatever he wanted. And that wasn't supposed to be the Raptors' problem, right? Like, we have Team 6-9 with all these versatile defenders, all these tough guys who can play different positions and guard anyone on the floor, except for, I guess, like a Joel Embiid type, given that they don't have a true center, other than Christian Coloco. But, like, no one had anything for him. No one, not even the guy we're banging the drum on for Defensive Player of the Year, OG Anunoby, could do anything about what Zion had on the floor.
Zion made OG look like a pylon.
It was pretty bad. It was bad.
And the Raptors are supposed to be very strong defensively.
Maybe he's a little undersized. But where's the next guy? Where is our ability to send multiple defenders at him, to double team, to do what's needed to do to in order to shut down Zion Williamson? I thought that wouldn't be a Raptors problem, but apparently it was. Where you have these unicorn types, and I get that's unicorn. It's difficult to deal with the unicorn types, but this is what this team was supposed to do, right? I thought they were supposed to manage these situations well because they curated their roster toward not leaving themselves with only one defender in pigeonholing certain guys. They had different guys for different things and different responsibilities, but on this night, they had absolutely no answer. And when it comes down to the most important games, and it comes down to these big spots, on these great teams, there's generally a guy who is really difficult to guard, and if you can't figure out something, then what is all this roster flexibility for?
Zion was an absolute beast. He wanted to do whatever he wanted to do, and there was no stopping him. I actually feel like the Zion story has been one that I've kind of felt bad for him because he's dealt with some adversity injury-wise. There's all the questions about his health and weight, and like, he kind of came in and people were like, bust. But when you see him healthy, he dominated last night. It was actually great to watch. Like, I don't care, I'm obviously a Raptors fan, but you get to see Zion play like that. It's a treat.
The flow with which he uses his athleticism is insane. Like, we know he has power advantage. We know he has strength advantage. We know he has weight advantage, whatever. But the way he moves and uses everything that he has in his advantage is truly one of a kind. And I worry, we're going to have Blake Murphy on later. And not worry, because it's, again, unicorn type. But, like, can Scottie Barnes use his advantages and even remotely the same way that Zion Williamson uses his, right? Because he has those advantages. He has all these great things that he can do, ball handling, size,
athleticism,
but it doesn't flow like Zion. Like, Zion is like an enlarged point guard out there doing whatever he wants to do. And I don't mean enlarged as in big, like just a bigger man, a taller man, someone who's the size of a four or five moving and scoring like a one.
Scotty Barnes had possibly one of his worst games last night.
Benched in the second half. This after like going on the stage after coming off the bench the last game and not being particularly thrilled with coming off the bench.
Very uninspiring.
And the context
effort.
Is like when he was at Florida State, he did come off the bench. I was like, I thought that'd be all right.
I don't know. There was a little bit of a air of confidence that didn't.
Or entitlement.
Entitlement that didn't really come through in your play. It was uninspiring. That's disappointing when you look at a young star across the court.
He played really, really bad.
That's killing it. Coming off the bench or sitting on the bench, not a great look for Scotty Barnes. But Nurse on their defensive effort, which is supposed to be, as we said, the strong suit of Toronto Raptors. The Pelicans had 40 points in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. And then 34 in the second.
That's gross.
74 first half points.
And at that point,
Toronto
obviously,
Raptors.
The game's gone. What do you do?
Message sending time for Nick Nurse. It's sitting Scotty Barnes. You lose Fred within a couple minutes, I think, to start
the
second
half. Talk about the Fred
thing, too. It's just like, all right, wave the white flag. Let's move on.
Let's play Nurse's quote on his defensive effort because he's quite blunt.
We did about everything defensively as poorly as we could tonight, including we didn't get to shooters early. Then when we got to them, they drove straight around us. We didn't protect the rim at all. We didn't rebound very well. I mean, we did. You know, it was a bad night for us defensively, for sure.
Yep.
It's interesting because the Pelicans aren't the same as the Raptors. I think they have more traditional positions, but they're kind of like the Raptors in some ways. Like, they're big and they're versatile and they have a lot of options that can do a lot of things for you. So if it is close to a mirror match, it's kind of discouraging that when you face someone like you, you can't even hang around on the same court as them. But again, it's one game.
Yes,
it's on
so
the road.
That's the other thing.
They clearly have road problems. Maybe they have some, like, not attitude problems, but like there's kind of some things going on right now. It seems like it doesn't seem like Scotty Barnes was overly happy. On the flip side, though, Gary Trent also came off the bench last game, came off the bench, and this game didn't get upgraded to the starting lineup, which has been his home for a long time. And he was brilliant. He was really the only bright spot for the Raptors yesterday.
I know I've really ripped on this game. It happens. Like, you can have one of these games every 2 months, but it just came at a tough time. Like, I really wanted them to build some momentum. They'd finally have everybody back. I'm surprised they didn't have a game like this, as bad as this, when they were down like 55 players. So I just did. That's why I was a little bit more upset than possible. But you're right. Yes, one game. Don't get me wrong, but it's how you build from this and respond. And that's really important now because it was probably one of your worst showings.
It just felt anti-Raptors. But maybe, you know, what we've built up in our minds about what the Raptors mean and stand for and do routinely isn't quite there when you're 3-8 on the road. And you've already lost on the road to Oklahoma City. I know you're undermanned, but still Oklahoma City, and you were embarrassed. The breakdown against Atlanta. And then this game, like a couple real stinkers on the card for Nick Nurse and the Toronto Raptors.
All right, so Gary Trent Jr. was the number one star, first star for the Raptors. He's been coming off the bench, and I think we'll talk about this more with Blake Murphy, but I was listening to Will Liu in the Raptors postgame, and he raised a really good point about Gary because, and cross-referenced it a bit with Scotty, which you just mentioned about the attitude. Gary gets called out by Nick Nurse in the media. He hasn't been performing defensively at all to standard, and he's been put on the bench. And his response, as Will put, and I completely agree, is a very professional response. He's come out, he's owned it, and he's improved substantially, and he's playing with no entitlement. He says, I've not proved anything in this league. He's in a contract year, and he's absolutely responded so well to this. Last night, he broke out of his shooting funk, nailing 4 3-pointers after the break, finished with a season-high 35 points, 12 for 20 in shooting, set a franchise record for the most points scored off the bench by a Raptor. That's
ever?
Yep.
Really?
That's correct, sir.
Oh. Good for Gary.
Good for Gary.
I mean,
that's
that,
what you
to me, that just screams, well, you're a starter that came off the bench.
But he's playing really well off the bench, so maybe you keep him there. That's the question.
Yeah, but if your starters aren't, if you're clearly missing something with your first five,
we will ponder this later.
We can continue to ponder it. But if one thing is taking from the other, starting off on the front foot, more important. And maybe that's just like a little bit of the push in the right direction that Gary needed. He talks about professionalism, and he showed it on the court, but his level has sagged, or at least in the mind of Nick Nurse. So it's all about keeping things sort of level. This was an up. There have been some downs for Gary. Hopefully they can find a way to keep that level above the average.
Last thing I had from the Raptors, at least, was Fred and his ejection.
I mean, the ejection was ridiculous.
Come on.
But it was like a culmination of other things, right? Like 100%. The Raptors are complainers.
This is, and I've said this many times, it drives me crazy when all the Raptors do is throw their arms up. Nick Nurse leads the way.
Yeah, it could be a chicken or the egg thing. Like, okay, so are you feel like you're not getting the benefit of the doubt, now you're acting this way? Or you're acting this way, and because for that reason, you're not getting the benefit of the doubt. Fred didn't get the benefit of the doubt.
No, and that ejection was soft. Like, there's no denying it. But you were already playing like crap. Your team was getting dummied. There's a lot else going on. But I just hate so much about the way that they react when one thing doesn't go their way. It is instantly complain to the refs, throw your hands up. And sure, there are certainly times for that. Like, when you get ejected on a very soft call. But, you know,
well, that's the only time they didn't complain. Fred just walked off the court.
I think it was just done. But there's so many tiny little plays where you like waste energy and you change the momentum of the game, and it all becomes more about, well, the refs, this call, miss. Like, it completely shifts the mentality. And maybe it's because I was an athlete and I know what it's like when all of a sudden your coach is complaining about every single thing and you're on the bench and you're like, okay, like, holy, like, are we really getting screwed by the refs? And you change your focus. And the Raptors do that so much, and it really irks me. And I don't know, I don't watch every single NBA game, but it just seems like they're the upper echelon of complainers. That's all.
I feel like Nick Nurse leads the charge in that, but then 100%. Second is Scotty to me. Second to me is Scotty. And I not that you earn it, not that you should earn that.
You
I mean, Fred hasn't, Fred hasn't earned anything, apparently, because that was garbage. Like, that was more for himself, I believe, than the referee. Like, he's trying to get himself going here. But, you know, you call it, that's a tech, that's the rule, whatever. But Scotty has done this since the start of the season.
And
when
you
things
are in
aren't
your
going
second
well,
year of
he's
the
got
NBA.
That incredulous look in front of the referee over and over and over again. He's got to play through it.
I think you earn a little respect. And maybe I think it's totally justified. Raptors Twitter loves to bring this up, that the Raptors probably get the least respect. And I don't know why. I don't know how to qualify that, but
they
sure
are one of the most faceless NBA teams.
Got
There's
it.
No doubt about it.
But I do think you earn a little bit of veteran respect. I know you won Rookie of the Year, but just like dial it in here. Nurse post game on the double tech for Fred VanVleet.
Do I have any issue with both of them? Yes, both of them. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Both of them are ridiculous.
All right.
I agree with the second one.
The second one.
I kind of glossed over the first one.
But you know what? It was fine to get Fred out of lineup.
Why, a little rest?
Yeah, a little rest. You know, they're back in action tomorrow night, and you got half a game, so.
Yeah, I mean,
you'll be fresh for the Nets.
At least you can count on him, though, to put in an honest effort when things aren't going well, and then you kind of lead it. Mm-hmm. So maybe they lost something with Fred leaving as well.
Anything more on the Raptors?
No.
Stink.
Disappointing.
That game was
because I was kind of like
sad.
I did a good job of keeping it off my screen. Watched the Leaf first, got ready for it.
And then you sat down to watch the Raptors. You're like, oh.
Then I did. I'm kind of new, but I saw, you know, after the first four or five Pascal possessions, it was like all downhill for the Pelicans. And I was just
it was
like,
nice
okay,
to watch
I don't have
Zion.
To watch the whole game. I don't have to watch the fourth quarter once I
just
saw
watch
it.
The
Fred,
Zion
Fred
highlights.
Was out and Zion highlights was, yeah, that's it.
Watch the Zion, Zion highlights. Just a reminder, get your wake and rake in. Unfortunately, we went from 3-3 to 0-3. Sometimes you fall from grace, and at least if we all lost, we all lost. My winning streak has officially ended. There, I was also very humbled.
You were flirting with double digits there, though, so
right
you can
on the
still
cusp.
Take a victory lap.
No problem. The Oilers win, but don't cover the puck line. You had Denmark, or as you at one
Denmark.
Point said,
losers.
Denver.
I wish I had Denver. Denmark was awful. They've been awful the whole time, man. That was a bad pick.
And then we had OG blocks and steals, and I don't even know if he did any.
No, he didn't.
So send that in tonight because you got a big football game. Bills and Patriots tonight at Foxborough. Bills keep getting a tough schedule here. Short week again. They had the thunder snow before with the back-to-back drive or flying to Detroit in 2 days back-to-back play. Go back home now on the road. Quick turnaround for Thursday, but at least we got a good Thursday night football match, which I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be good. These primetime games have definitely sucked.
So you have that to look forward to tonight. No Toronto sports on the agenda. And you have Canada with their final World Cup appearance until they're co-hosting it in 2026. So all eyes on what they can do to kind of bookend
this tournament.
Play spoiler, play with a little pride. You know,
give us a Mexico-like performance.
Get us some sort of point or two or three. It would be real nice to get a result.
Let's find a way to bet a positive result, too. We'll figure out something.
Okay, final thing here, just touching on all the Toronto sports. Yesterday, in our final dying moments of the show, we talk about the Toronto Blue Jays looking to add absolute legend Don Mattingly to their staff. We teed it up. I was excited about it. You were a little bit, what does this mean for John Schneider? But I see your point in that. And we were like, you know what? They're probably going to do this today. 9:01.
Mm-hmm.
9:01. Our show ends at 9. Yeah. JD Bunk's podcast comes in. 9:01. The Blue Jays go, okay, those clowns are off the air. Here you go.
A little fodder for JD.
They go, okay, finally, Justin Ailish off the air. Now we can dump this news on everyone's plate at 9:01. But officially, the Blue Jays add Don Mattingly to their staff as a bench coach. I'm very fired up about this. This guy has...
Are you?
He has an incredible pedigree. This is a big add to this team.
Okay.
Like, I'm a big fan of respected legends joining a team that is very young and doesn't have a track record of success. He has a track record of being a part of successful teams. He's played at a very high level. He's an iconic Yankee. It's too bad. But this is a very young team still looking to push in the playoffs, and John Schneider doesn't have the MLB track record yet. So this is a great addition in terms of somebody that knows the game extremely well. Not that John Schneider doesn't, but they're going to share some of these responsibilities. And yesterday he obviously did the media tour for mm-hmm. Toronto, and he had a really good quote or a really good response to how he's going to work in tandem with this team and what he's looking forward to bringing.
You know, John's role was the most important to me. You know, after I talked to Ross and I loved that conversation we had, but, you know, kind of I think early on with Ross, it's like John's got to be 100%, you know, comfortable with me. And, you know, my role I look at as I'm here to support, you know, John in anything he wants me to do. I'm sure he'll define the role as it goes. But that was like the most important thing for me is getting comfortable with John and probably more than anything, John being comfortable with me. You know, I'm not much of a, on the ego side at all. I feel like I'm here to help and here to help him. I don't want any trouble. I don't want to cause any friction at all within this staff. I want to be part of it and just humble myself and do the work and help players. It's what I love doing. It's really, I want to see players have success. Want to see the team have success, and I'm going to be supporting John in anything he wants me to do.
He could have gone anywhere. Like he isn't, you know, some random guy that's a free agent.
No, this is normally a role reserved for the next manager to be. And I'm not saying that's happening with the mm-hmm. Blue Jays. It's like he kind of said what I was thinking, in that you are kind of humbling yourself. You don't need to do this. You don't need to sort of go back to an assistant coach or whatever that capacity would be translated from whatever other sport. Like, you don't need this, but he's a baseball guy and he's a smart baseball guy and he's someone who's been an elite player and has managed really great teams. So just adding knowledge is always a good thing, especially when there's no agenda. And I guess it doesn't seem like there's an agenda.
And I'm really glad that he came out with those statements, because you're right. There's a little bit of, oh, well, this is weird. This guy is way more of a pedigree than you. He did say that he, you know, he had interest from other teams, but it was the conversations with Schneider and the passion that he has for this team that made him decide this to be his next step. And he's seen the Blue Jays a handful of times in the recent seasons, and he said, this team has all the ingredients to win. It's just about taking it to that next level, which was their slogan last year. Next level.
Next level and under probably, Don Mattingly.
He probably wanted to check out that new stadium, be a part of it. Definitely. He did say something about, like, the atmosphere is cool. They got a cool stadium. I'm like, just you wait.
Thanks, Don.
Just you wait, Donnie. All right. That's your roundup. Oof, lots of cover this morning. We'll keep it going all day long. We've got Jeff Merrick at 7, Peter Galindo live in Qatar at 7:30, Blake Murphy to round it all out. Send in your Wake and Rake selections. Time to start December on a good note. We had a up and down November, not like the Maple Leafs. It's time to start this final month of the calendar year with a couple wins. That's 590, 590, your Wake and Rake picks. We're going to do the A-list next, where we got to give some love to Pat Maroon. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, 590, The Fan.
Back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Justin and Ailish. We'll get to the A-list in 1 second, but first, I've missed two important things. Probably the most important thing in the craziness of yesterday's 2 p.m. Group D. Anyway, World Cup games. The first of which, the less important, as Mexico was blitzing Saudi Arabia, they had multiple goals taken off the board through offsides while they were pressing for it. So it's like you had the euphoria of them doing it, finally, breaking through, going ahead, but then having it called back. But the craziest thing out of all of it, and when they were trying to figure out who was actually going through because they were locked in terms of points and goals and goal differential, you're going down the list of things that matter the most that are going to break the deadlock. And it was all even on goal differential, on goals. And it had to go down to fair play rules. So the fact that Mexico had more yellow cards in that moment, Poland was going through. That was the only thing saving Poland. They were hanging on by a thread. They were hanging on by the fact.
And then you play very politely.
Yeah, they had to Well, I don't even think it was that close. Like, I think Mexico had a few more, so it wasn't really an issue. But Poland was so vulnerable that they were down to the fact that they had fewer yellow cards. And that changed once Saudi Arabia scored. It was absolutely nuts. And we can debate whether fair play rules should be the tiebreaker, but that's how even it was, and that's how crazy it was, that it was way down the list of tiebreakers, and it was fluid in the moment. It was wild. And I will say, I'll eat the crow for slamming the Mexico pick.
I didn't want to bring it up, but
slam the Mexico pick. They were awesome. Where was that before? What were they waiting for?
I think it was Corey in Port Hope that you ripped on. Somebody said Mexico, and you're like, oh, what a moron.
Well, minus 160 on a team that hadn't scored a goal yet in the tournament.
We all got humbled real quick in the Wake and Rake, so we'll take the L and we'll move on.
It was the right pick, but I didn't think it was right for the Wake and Rake.
Speaking of L's, first up in the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, I don't like to come on here and rip on other people in our profession. Other broadcasters, but it just needs to be done.
Been a lot of that lately.
This is just like completely disrespectful and unacceptable. Jack Edwards, who I don't get why people put him on a pedestal. Like, one of the greatest of all time. He's honest, whatever. This is just like...
Who says greatest of all time?
Those people that are fans of that team.
Spent too much time in that Dartmouth area.
Well, Boston fans can have weird takes. Nonetheless... This yesterday during the game between the Boston Bruins and the Tampa Bay Lightnings, Jack Edwards is calling game. It's 1-0 Boston in the first period. And he just decides to go on this rant about Patrick Maroon. We're going to play the whole thing. And it's just like so offside.
Listed 238 pounds. That was day one of training camp. I got a feeling he's had a few more pizzas between then and now.
Yeah, that's before pregame.
Yeah, right. Fasting. Chris, inadvertent fasting for Pat Maroon is like 4 hours without a meal. But hey, three cups in a row, who can argue with his formula?
It actually goes, like, it's even longer than that.
Just, like, less funny with every
desperate
comment
he made. And he just keeps doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on Pat Maroon, like, fat-shaming the guy.
Yeah.
It was just, what are you, like, why are you doing this?
Who are you to
honestly,
talk about
it just
anyone?
Didn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Guy's won three Stanley Cups.
Literally.
Professional athlete.
Yeah. So Patrick Maroon catches wind of this because so did the internet. And he does the bigger person move. Yesterday tweets out this. In support of those struggling with mental health, bullying, and body image, I'm making a $2,000 donation in the name of Tags Jack Edwards to Tampa Bay Thrives, and I encourage Tampa Bay Lightning and NHL fans to join me. Donate here. The hockey community just sees this and obviously piles on the donations, becomes a positive thing. Nobody was even closely in support of what Jack Edwards said or did, which makes sense. Everybody starts donating. Even the Carolina Hurricanes, who always find a way to get themselves in the mix. We stand with Pat Maroon in supporting those who struggle with mental health, bullying, and body image. We encourage Canes fans to donate, and they also donated as well to the Lightning Foundation. And Bobby Ryan gets it. I mean, you can just go down the list of people supporting Pat Maroon. Quote, Pat Maroon doesn't care about Jack Edwards. He's been, quote, fat Pat since we were 7 years old. He has three cups, a bunch of money, and a beautiful family. This tweet lasted longer than his thoughts about some announcer calling him big. He's the big rig, doesn't change his day. So.
Yeah, he's big rig to everyone. But, I mean, you got to be in his circle if you want to, like Bobby Ryan is, to be using the nickname that Bobby Ryan put out there. Definitely out of bounds for Jack Edwards. I'm glad, as you mentioned, a negative to a positive. It's all good.
Big Pat Maroon fan after that. All right. The Beam.
No, more Beam.
The Beam, baby. I will continue to bring you the Beam. My Beams. 50 Cent shows up to Sacramento Kings shoot around.
Oh, he wants some of that Beam shine?
He wants to be a part of the Beam team. And that's basically the end of that story. He just showed up, loves the Sacramento Kings, loves the Beam, has a little fun day with the squad. He's now part of my Beam team as well. And the group is growing. So get on board.
You can have 50 Cent.
I wonder, like, if you, I don't know, he sometimes you think you forget that 50 Cent.
He was on around. Top of the world for a little bit there.
He sure was.
You do forget about him now, though.
All right. Well, I have a couple more, but we got to do the certain teed, and then we got to get to our buddy Jeff Merrick. Don't want to keep him waiting. So, nonetheless,
let's not waste any time. The Soccer Report is brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. I guess I could have saved my excitement.
Yeah, it's good.
For the Argentina, Poland, Mexico, Saudi Arabia chapter for the CertainTeed Soccer Report. But other things happened yesterday at the World Cup. Tunisia beat France, but it didn't matter because France is going through as the top seed. And as mentioned, Australia, the team I thought was going to be the worst at the World Cup. No
one. Were they the lowest rated?
I don't know. I don't know if they were lowest rated. They probably get some points for continuing to win their like group, their section of the world. I guess they just dominate over there, so it probably bumps them up a little bit. But they managed to advance with a win over Denmark.
Is that the most shocking of the tournament so far?
No, I mean, the Saudi Arabia over Argentina has to be up there.
I mean, in terms of advancing.
I think it's the most disappointing just performance from a team is Denmark. Like, overall, they didn't win a game, and they were supposed to be coming out of that group with relative ease. So I think Denmark disappoints me and disappoints certainly Denmark and anyone else who was backing them at the World Cup. But today is another potential for fireworks at 10 a.m. Of course, Canada can play spoiler. They can get a point, get a win over Morocco. Maybe they change the complexion of the group. And of course, Belgium and Croatia, the two teams that have beat Canada so far, will go to battle with maybe the top spot in the group on the line. Of course, it depends on what happens, of course, or as well with Canada and Morocco. And then Japan and Spain, big match. And Costa Rica, Germany, all to play for with Japan, Spain, and Germany. I guess Costa Rica's got a shot, too, after they upset Japan. So all four teams are in the mix there. The same can't be said for Canada's group, unfortunately, but they can still get that result that they wanted from Qatar this morning. This soccer report was brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way.
So remember our bet, just to refresh the listeners, Justin and I had a random computer generator pick a 5-team pool for ourselves to cheer for at the World Cup. You have one eliminated at this point, which is Denmark. But I believe...
Salt in the wound.
I believe the rest are pending.
My great
pending.
Hope. I guess England is now. My great drafted hope was Denmark.
You've got Japan, Switzerland, Cameroon, Denmark, and England, just as a reminder. And I have Netherlands, Ghana, Uruguay, Senegal, and Brazil. The bet was the team that makes it furthest. That is who wins on our show bet. And the punishment was that you need to make a incredible, pristine snowman in a public place, non-ironically go in there and like absolutely make the world's greatest snowman in public.
There's a 0% like a chance I win this bet. Yeah. England's drawing France in the quarterfinal.
Anything can happen.
So they've got to beat France. And we need Brazil to, like, lose to a lesser, like...
People have lost.
In the quarterfinals.
As more happening. Favorites than that. By the way, Canada plus 350 to win against Morocco today. Keep your Wake and Rake picks coming at 590. We're going to talk to Jeff Merrick, host of 32 Thoughts, and Jeff Merrick's show about the prolific Mitch Marner tying Toronto Maple Leafs' longest point streak of all time. That's next on The Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ayler, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.